for giving me an opportunity to come and serve this community and grow this. Whatever introduction was given, that was just exaggeration. I think there's very little truth in that, except that, yes, I had a fortune of studying and being trained in ISKCON Chaupati. There we had the personal association and guidance of Guru Nityananda Swami Maharaj. Besides that, nothing else was actually true. Om Jnanat Nirandasyam Jnanantana Chalakayam Chakshuram Nulitangye Tasmay Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Sapitamye Nabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurav Shri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamishcha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamishcha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasiddhubhyascha Advaitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasaya Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Srimad Bhagavatam describes, we most of us have heard about 9 verses of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Svanam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasam, Satyam, Atman, Vedanam. So, Vandanam is nothing but prayers. And it's very interesting that many of the devotees who read the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever the portion of prayers comes, where some devotee is praying to Krishna, they tend to skip it. Let's go to interesting part of the story. But actually speaking, the most interesting part of any of the episodes in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, or even Bhagavad Gita, is the prayers. In Bhagavad Gita also there is prayer. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna sees the Vishwarupa, he offers beautiful prayers. So, praying or prayerful mood is actually very natural for every living entity. Not just devotees, for every living entity, it's but natural to pray. The only reason where a person may turn to atheism or do not have, they do not care for prayers, is when they become proud. Or when they have too much of confusions in life, when they see too much confusion and contradiction in different religions, sometimes they become frustrated. And then they don't want to believe in anything. But praying is natural for every living entity. Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with so many prayers. Wonderful and beautiful prayers. The prayers of Queen Kunti, which Srila Prabhupada elaborately gave discourses on. Prayers of Bhishma Dev when he's passing away. And Hamsa Guhya prayers, Rudra Gita prayers, Gajendra prayers, so many prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you take any of those prayers, you will find a lot of relevance along with philosophical truth, which is supposed to be meditated by all of us. Whenever a devotee prays, that is actually coupled with his mood at that particular time. Like Gajendra, when he is in distress, if you read the prayers, those prayers are actually his realization in that distressful situation. When Kunti Maharani is praying, these are the prayers where she is feeling separation from Krishna, where Krishna is going to go away. So those prayers reflect that mood. And it's actually a truth that every practicing devotee has or carries a particular mood. And therefore, every devotee when they pray to Krishna, their prayer is uniquely different. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we don't know anything. We don't know philosophy, we don't know Krishna, we don't know who we are. Therefore, we are taught these prayers. Brahma Samhita prayers, the Lord Brahma's prayers, right? Shikshashtakam prayers. So, these prayers are taught to us to understand how to pray. And the subject matter has been very beautifully dealt with by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He explains there are three kinds of prayers. Especially devotees, they offer three kinds of prayers. One is called Samprarthatmika. Simply means prarthana. You don't have any distress, you don't have any happiness, you just pray. Oh Krishna, please be merciful to me. Let me become your pure devotee. This is a sign of Samprarthatmika. A generic prayer. But then, when a devotee continues to practice Krishna consciousness, he develops some realizations. He gets some realizations, not develop. Realization means something is already there with him. He discovers. And when a devotee starts advancing in Krishna consciousness, he naturally imbibes humility and he becomes aware of his or her own faults. How I have so many faults within me. Then a devotee offers a prayer which is called Dainyatmika. Dainya means in humility, I am so fallen, I am so insignificant. Like Krishna is called Dinanath. Dinanath means one who is very merciful to Dina. And Dainyatmika prayers means a person who actually feels that he is Dina, he is incapable. Like Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a prayer on Jaladuta. Right? What he mentions in that prayer. Bhakti nahi veda nahi name khuba dharo. Bhakti vedanta nama tumi sathaka karo. He said, my dear Lord, I don't have any devotion. I don't have any knowledge. But yet I have been given the name Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti means devotion and Vedanta means knowledge. He says, I don't have knowledge, I don't have any devotion. And yet I have been given the name Bhakti Vedanta. Now if you want, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. So this is Dainyatmika prayer. The person is feeling humility, the devotee. So every devotee, you know, has a unique mood. But when a devotee offers a prayer in humility, that's called Dainyatmika. But when a devotee is gradually advances. And when sometime he is witnessing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, he develops eagerness to participate in those prayers. And Rupa Goswami says those prayers are called lalasamaya. Lalasamaya means there is greed, there is eagerness. When I will be able to participate in these pastimes? Like Narottam Das Thakur has written, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written prayers, lalasamaya prarthana. Kabe hate bolo seidi nama, kabe hate bolo seidi nama, kabe nanda more kori daya, charai be mora vishaye ramaya. He's hankering when the day will come, when actually I'll become free from all the desires for sense enjoyment and I will receive the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. When the day will come, when I'll freely roam and navigate, you know, carelessly chanting Gaur Nityananda's name. So these are three different categories of prayers. So whenever we come in the presence of the Lord, we are supposed to offer prayers. And prayers are actually very, very powerful medium of attracting the mercy of the Supreme Lord. One time, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his room and one devotee, he came and said, Prabhupada, Maya is so strong, I can fall anytime. Prabhupada said, yes, you can fall anytime, but I'll never fall down. So devotee, you know, he had heard that we are supposed to be, you know, humble, but Prabhupada saying he will never fall down anymore. You know? So he got a little confused, but he didn't say anything. So after a few moments he came down, and Srila Prabhupada came down, and he was taking darshan of the deities. And Prabhupada was actually intensely praying. So devotee approached, out of same devotee approached Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what are you praying? Prabhupada said, I am praying to Krishna that I shall never fall into Maya's trap. Right. So Prabhupada actually showed from this particular example that if you simply pray to Krishna, the problem is we don't even come and pray to Krishna. If you continuously pray to Krishna, you can even claim that you will never fall in Maya. But the problem is we will forget to pray. Prayers have so much power. Many times in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, we don't even have faith that if I offer any prayers to Krishna, it will be heard. But prayers are actually very, very potent for attracting the mercy of the Supreme Lord. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are beautiful prayers by different devotees. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was performing his pastimes in Navadvipa, he went to Gaya to perform the Shraddha ceremony of his father after his father passed away. And there he got initiation from Ishwara Puri, allegedly the disciple of Shri Prabhupada. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back, he started exhibiting the mood of a devotee. Till that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to exhibit his mood of a scholar. He would debate with everyone. But then he started exhibiting the mood of a devotee. And he revealed to devotees also his actual position as the Supreme Lord. And one such instance where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his opulences to devotees is referred as Saka Praharya Lila. Prahara means 3 hours. A day is supposed to have 8 praharas. So, 4 praharas in the day and 4 praharas in the night. So one time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had continuous pastimes for 21 hours, Sat Prahara, in the house of Shiva Sadhu. And during these pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually exhibited his opponents. He showed his form as the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And he benedicted, he gave benedictions to all the devotees. So during those pastimes, many wonderful prayers were offered by different devotees. There was one devotee, his name was Sridhar Kalaveti. Sridhar was actually a very, very poor person. He had a thatched hut, and in his backyard he grew some bananas. You know, he had some banana field. So his only way of sustaining was he would sell the bananas, banana leaves, and the different things made from the trunk of banana trees. And whatever money he would get, and actually he would sell his products very, very cheap. Cheapest in the market. Not that he had cheap stuff, but he would sell it cheapest. Because he had no greed, he didn't care for having more money. And whatever money he would get by selling those products, half of that money he would every day without fail use for worshipping Mother Ganga. And with remaining 50% he was utilized for his own purpose, for sustaining himself. And he would constantly, incessantly, he would continue to chant, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he knew his heart. So during Sapta Praharya Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he invited Sridhar. This Sridhar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would every day go to his stall. And for 2 hours, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would argue with him for the price of the bananas and banana leaves. Just imagine. Here you don't get to have that experience, but in India that's very common. If you go in the marketplace, in fact, people love to do shopping in India because there is so much scope of bargaining. In fact, some devotee told, when Srila Prabhupada came initially to US, when he first time went to Walmart, very first time, so he had purchased some vegetables and a few things, and when he came to check out, one lady, you know, she checked out all the things and she said, this much, bill is this much. Prabhupada said, I won't give you this much, I'll give you only this much. So she said, it doesn't work like that here. But she saw, she was so much attracted to see Prabhupada's simplicity. She said, it's all right, you pay whatever you want to pay. She paid from her own pocket and she closed the deal. So it's actually fun, you know. People love to do shopping, especially in India, because there is so much scope of bargaining. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come every day and for 2 hours he would simply argue the price of banana and banana leaves. Sridhar would say, okay, banana is for this much, but so Lord Chaitanya would say, I would give only half a price of this. So Sridhar would say, well, I'm selling cheapest in the market, you can go and find anywhere. No, no, I'll pay only half of this. And Sridhar would say, why would you pay half? Whatever money I get, 50% I use for worshipping Ganga. He said, forget about Ganga. I'm the Lord and Master of Ganga, so you should give it to me. By this time, Sridhar didn't know that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. So when you hear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, I'm Lord of Ganga, he closes his ears. Vishnu, Vishnu. Nimai, you are so restless. You are calling yourself Lord of Ganga. This is so offensive. And Sridhar was so poor, it's not that he had a lot. Vrindavana Sarko described that in his clothes, they had so many holes and he had so many knots just to close the holes. At least 40 places he had knots on the clothes. He was so poor, he didn't have it. Sometimes devotees, especially I have experienced some brahmachari, they like to wear some special uniform. When I was new in Mumbai temple, when I joined, there was one brahmachari who had a tendency of wearing torn kurtas to show I am renounced. So one time I remember we went to a college preaching program which I had arranged, and he was supposed to speak. And he gave a wonderful speech, and there were almost like 150 students. So he purposefully wore a torn kurta. It was torn from pocket side. So he came and he gave a wonderful speech. And when his speech was over, one of the girls, she raised her hand, "I have one question." I thought, okay, some philosophical question. She said, "Why are you wearing torn kurta?" So he thought, I spoke for 1.5 hours, and this is all she observed. To hell with my kurta, I'll start wearing nice kurtas from tomorrow. So he gave up his false enunciation. But Sridhar was not like that. He didn't have anything. He actually had just one torn, you know, shirt or kurta which had 40 knots. And his hut was having so many holes on the roof in the monsoon, in the rainy season, the water would come from practically everywhere. So he was so poor, but he constantly chanted the names of Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, when he would argue with him for two hours for the prices of bananas, he would say, "Sridhar, I know you are very wealthy. You are hiding your wealth from everyone. One day I will expose you." He said, "No, I don't have any help. You come and see my home." He said, "No, no, I know. You are just pretending. You are hiding from world. Someday I will expose you." So on this day of Satprahari Lila, he actually called Sridhar. Sridhar was not present during the kirtan. He told devotees, "Go and bring Sridhar." So devotees actually went. They actually asked each other, "How do we find?" Because they didn't even know who Sridhar was. "How do we find?" They just go outskirts of the field. There you will find one person loudly chanting Hare Krishna. "He is Sridhar, bring him here." So devotees went. They found Sridhar was actually loudly chanting the names of Krishna. So they brought him. "Come, come, the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to see you." So when he heard, "Lord wants to see me," he actually fainted. So they picked him up on the shoulders and brought him. And as soon as Sridhar came in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his Shyamasundara form to him. Krishna holding flute. And as soon as Sridhar saw this beautiful form of Krishna, he actually fainted. He fell to the ground. His eyes were brimmed with tears. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Sridhar, get up. Offer me some prayers." And Sridhar actually started offering prayers. He said, "My dear Lord," Sridhar had so much devotion. Sridhar said, "My dear Lord, my only problem is I don't have any devotion." "And you are purchased by devotion only. There is no other price one can pay to purchase Krishna." And he said, "Bhishma, he defeated you on the strength of his devotion." You know, in Mahabharata, Bhishma Dev, he took a vow. Because, you know, one time, Duryodhana, he was criticizing Bhishma Dev. Said, "My dear grandfather, I know you can finish the battle in one day. What one speak of one day? You can finish battle in 1 hour. You can kill the Pandavas. But you're not doing it. You're fighting on my side, but you're not fighting loyally." So he was criticizing Bhishma Dev in this way. Srila Prabhupada explains that sometimes grandchildren can criticize the grandfather. You cannot criticize father in Vedic culture, but grandson and grandfather have some special relationship. So Bhishma Dev also sometimes would criticize Duryodhana. So Duryodhana is criticizing. So Bhishma said, "Okay, tomorrow I will kill all the 5 Pandavas with these arrows." So Duryodhana said, "Okay, give me the arrows. What if you change your mind? Tomorrow I will give you on the battlefield."
So he took the arrow. Then Krishna, he knows that he is Paramatma in everyone's hearts. So he told Arjuna, Arjuna, let's go to Duryodhana. Arjuna said, for what? You have to ask him something. You remember in your childhood in Gurukul, he was very happy with you. He promised you, ask me something, and you didn't ask him. You told him, I'll ask you sometime. So now time to go and ask. Ask him what for those 5 arrows. So Arjun came. Battles in those days used to be fought on principles. So they would fight in the daytime, but in the evening they would be friends. So Duryodhan, when he saw Arjun and Krishna coming, he welcomed them very nicely. So Arjun said, Duryodhan, do you remember? You had promised me in Gurukul that you'll give me something. He said, yes. You want kingdom without fighting? I'll give you. He said, no. No kingdom without. For kingdom I'll fight. I want those 5 arrows. And Duryodhan, he had to give because that was Kshatriya nature. So he, without hesitation, gave all the 5 arrows. Next day when Bhishma said, where are my arrows? He said, Krishna took them away. He said, okay. If Krishna took them away, tomorrow, actually next, that is, Bhishma said, if today Krishna does not pick up the weapon, his friend Arjuna is going to die. Because Krishna had promised, I will not fight, I will not pick up any weapons during the battlefield. But Bhishma, they said, if Krishna does not pick up the weapons, Arjuna has to die. This is my vow. So Bhishma, he had so much love for Krishna. When he took this oath, Krishna was obliged to. And Krishna actually picked up the weapon to kill the Bhishma. So, Sridhar was saying, my dear Lord, Bhishma defeated you on the battlefield simply on the strength of devotion. Mother Yashoda bound you with the rope simply by the dint of her devotion. Satyabhama, she could sell you. You became a handpicked husband for Satyabhama simply on the strength of her devotion. But my dear Lord, I don't have any devotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sridhar, your devotion has actually purchased me. Ask me any benediction. Ask me some boon. And guess, Sridhar, what did he ask? My dear Lord, let me have some devotion. And I have one more desire. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sridhar, Sridhar, if you want, I can make you the king of heavenly planets. If you want, I can give you liberation from this material existence. Sridhar didn't ask any of this. What did he ask? He said, my dear Lord, my only prayer is, let that Nimai come to my and take away my bananas. Because Sri Chaitanya sometimes would steal his banana, take away the bananas without paying him. He said, I just want that Nimai Pandit to come. Lifetimes after lifetimes, you come to my store and steal away my stuff. Argue with me. Similarly, Haridas Thakur, he was designated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Namacharya. He was born in a Muslim family. And yet, he would constantly chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In fact, he would chant 192 rounds every single day. We struggle with 16. He would chant 192 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every single day. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called Haridas Thakur, and he actually gave his darshan to Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur actually fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my Haridas, ask me some benediction. And before giving benediction, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas, my dear Haridas, I want to reveal one secret to you today. Do you remember long, long ago when the Muslim soldier, they were tormenting you? It so happened one time, Haridas Thakur, he was arrested. He was arrested by the Muslim Qazi, who was actually envious to Haridas. So he told the king, Haridas, he is born in a Muslim family, but he's chanting the names of Hindu gods and he's preaching from the Hindu scriptures, he should be punished. So the king was obliged. He arrested Haridas. And Haridas Thakur was brought to the court. And Haridas Thakur, he told. The king actually felt compassion on Haridas. He told Haridas, why don't you simply preach from Quran and stop chanting the names of Hindu gods? And Haridas Thakur argued, my dear king, if some Hindu becomes Muslim, will you punish him? So what is the big deal if I am chanting the names of Hindu God? So this actually enraged the Qazi. And Qazi, he said, he should be punished. He should be beaten till the time he dies. So the soldiers actually captured Haridas and they took the iron lashes, not the wooden sticks. They took actually iron lashes and they started beating Haridas. They were beating him in the marketplaces. One after another, they took Haridas Thakur in 22 different marketplaces, continued beating him with the iron lashes. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, do you remember Haridas that day when Muslim soldiers were beating you in different marketplaces? I became so angry. I descended from Vaikuntha with Sudarshan Chakra in my hand. I wanted to kill all these soldiers. But then I saw you were praying for them. You were constantly praying, my dear Lord, please, please do not punish these poor soldiers. They are simply executing their duty. They do not know what is right, what is wrong. Please do not punish them. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I wanted to leave my Sudarshan Chakra on them, but my Sudarshan Chakra refused to move because of your prayers. And at the same time, I couldn't see you being beaten up. So, I covered your body with my own body. And I'm not speaking lies, Haridas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying this, he removed his upper cloth. And he saw the marks of lashes on the back of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Haridas saw this, he started weeping and crying. He fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he started offering beautiful prayers. He said, my dear Lord, it's not at all amazing that you protect your devotees. Haridas Thakur was protected, right? He said, my dear Lord, it's not at all amazing that you protect your devotees who always remember you. Prahlad, he was tormented by his father. The demons, the demonic soldiers of Hiranyakashipu, they tormented him in so many different ways. They tried to pierce his body. They tried to burn him in the fire. They tried to feed him poison. Prahlad never asked for protection, but he constantly remembered you. Because he remembered you, you protected him. Similarly, Parvati, when she was attacked by the ghosts and witches, she simply remembered you and you protected her. Pandavas, when they were in the forest, Duryodhana conspired with Durvasamuni. He sent Durvasamuni along with 60,000 disciples to the forest. And Pandavas, along with Draupadi, they simply remembered you and you protected them. You know that incident, right? When Pandavas were in exile, Draupadi was given an Akshay Patra, a magical pot by Suryadev, which she could use in the forest. She could have unlimited amount of food coming from that pot as long as she had not finished eating. Once she eats, for that day, the pot will become like an ordinary pot, will provide no more food. Next day again it would. So, Duryodhana knew this. So he conspired along with Durvasamuni and his 60,000 disciples. He actually served Durvasamuni very nicely. And when Durvasamuni said, okay, ask me any boon, he said, I want the way you have blessed me, bless my brothers also in the forest. They would be very happy to welcome you along with your disciples. Lord said, okay, I will go. Durvasamuni came along with 60,000 disciples. After the lunch time, when Draupadi had only finished eating, there was no food. And here Durvasamuni comes with 60,000 disciples. So Pandavas and Draupadi, they simply remembered Krishna. Krishna came. Immediately appeared from Dwarka there within a moment. And he told Draupadi, I'm so hungry, please feed me something. And Draupadi started crying, "My dear Lord, what is this? There are 60,000 guests waiting and you are also asking. I'm not feeling so bad for not giving them, but I'm feeling so bad not being able to give you anything." I said, no, just look, you will have at least one or two grains. Just give me that." And she actually looked on the pot, on the side of the pot, there was just one grain left. She offered that to Krishna. Krishna ate that. And Krishna was completely satisfied. And when Krishna is satisfied, Krishna is the stomach of the whole universe. So he satisfied, the 60,000 disciples of Dhruvasani, they also got satisfied, along with Dhruvasani. So in this way, they were protected. So Indra Thakur said, "My dear Lord, you protected the Pandavas in the forest simply because they remembered you. You protected Ajamil, who remembered you at the time of death." So it's not at all amazing that you protected me. But my problem is, I cannot remember you. Indra Thakur is constantly chanting the names of Krishna. He's constantly remembering. He's like, "My dear Lord, but I don't have any remembrance. Please bless me that I can remember you. Bless me that I may have remnants of your devotees, lifetime after lifetime, so that I can remember you." And there are, of course, many devotees who offer beautiful prayer, but one more prayer I would like to point out. There was one more devotee. His name was Mukunda. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was calling all the devotees to come and seek benedictions from him. But he was not calling Mukunda. So Srivas Thakur, he told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, you are calling everyone, but why are you not calling your dear Mukunda?" And as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the name of Mukunda, he became very angry. He said, "Mukunda, that rascal, don't even take his name in front of me. Mukunda will not see me." So when Mukunda heard this, that Lord Chaitanya was speaking in an angry mood that he will not see me, he was standing behind a pillar and he started weeping and crying. So he told Srivas, "Please ask the Lord," he told loudly, "please ask the Lord, will I ever see him?" Sometimes, you know, Lord Chaitanya would hear this question, but he told Srinivas Thakur, "You ask him, will I ever be able to see him?" Sometimes, you know, in home also such situations come, right? The husband and wife fight, so they are not talking to each other. The husband will tell the child, "Go and tell your mom like this." Mom will, "Go and tell your father like this." Right? One time, there was a quarrel between husband and wife. They were not talking to each other. So they would write on paper and they would pass the paper to each other. So next day husband had some flight early morning. So he wrote on the paper, "Tomorrow morning I have flight at 6, so wake me at 4. And he left the paper for a while. So she read it. Next morning he wakes up, it's 8 o'clock, so bright light. He gets so angry. And before he could go and say anything to wife, he saw on his stomach there was a paper. It's 4 o'clock, get up. So something similar. Mukunda is telling Srivas, "Please ask the Lord, will I ever be able to see him?" And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas said, "He's asking, will he ever be able to see you?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "He will see me only after 10 million births. Then he will have my mercy." 10 million means 1 crore. Right? So, he will have my mercy, he will see me only after 10 million births. And as soon as Sridhar heard this, that I will see the Lord, I will have his mercy after 10 million births, he became so happy. He started jumping, he started leaping high in the sky, and started shouting on top of his voice, "I will see, I will see, I will receive the mercy of the Lord just in 10 million lives." And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, he became very happy. He told Sridhar, "Come now." But Sridhar was so ecstatic, just by anticipating that in 10 million lifetimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would show his mercy to him. He was so happy. Because if you see, from eternity point of view, what is 10 million now? There's nothing. Even if somebody can guarantee us 10 million times, you will surely receive the mercy of 10. That's a great assurance. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, Mukunda, come right now. So devotee was telling, Mukunda, come, Lord wants to see you now. He was so much happy, he was just jumping, I will see. So devotee had to actually drag him and bring him to Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mukunda, whatever offenses you have, they are all washed away. The devotee actually asked, what offense Mukunda has done? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Mukunda, when he is in the association of devotees, he holds the blade of grass in his teeth and humbly bows down to devotees and hears from them the glories of Krishna. And then he goes and hears from Mayavadis. And Mayavadis, with their sharp words, they beat my tender body. So Mukunda, when he's in the association of devotees, it's like he's touching my feet. But then when he goes in the association of Mayavadis, it's like with one hand he's touching my feet, with another hand he's taking a club and hitting on my head. So when Mukunda, he became a little pacified, he came from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, all your offenses are wiped out. Just because when you heard from my mouth that you will receive my mercy after 10 million births, you were so grateful. Because you were so grateful, all your offenses were wiped away. Ask me any benediction, Mukunda, whatever you want. And Mukunda said, my dear Lord, I'm so grateful that you allowed me to see you. But when I'm seeing you with these eyes, is it really that I'm seeing you? What is the use of seeing with these eyes? Because after all, Duryodhan saw you. He saw you along with his whole dynasty. You revealed your Vishwarup in the Kuru's assembly. But Duryodhan did not feel any love for you. He felt inimical towards you. And what was the result? Though he saw you, but he was destroyed along with his entire dynasty. Similarly, my dear Lord, Hiranyaksha, he saw your beautiful form of Varahadev, but he was also destroyed. Hiranyakashipu, he saw your beautiful form of Lord Narasimhadev, but the net result was even he was destroyed. But my dear Lord, Kobja, she was a simple hunchback woman. She never saw you before, but she had devotion to you. And therefore she was benefited. When she saw you first time, she offered you with love and devotion, the ointments and sandalwood paste. And she was blessed. The ladies in Mathura, they never saw you, but they had devotion to you. Similarly, the Yajna Patnis, the wives of Yajna Brahmanas, they never saw you, but they had devotion unto you. But Kamsa, because he had no devotion, even though he saw you, he was destroyed. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these prayers. He said, Mukunda, what you are saying is right. A person, if he is devoid of devotion, even though he may attain my darshan, will have no benefit. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave an example. He said, the Kamsa's washerman, he had accumulated heaps and heaps of pious activities. For millions of lifetimes, he had performed pious activities. And the result of that pious activities was that I went to him and I asked him the clothes. But because he had no devotion, he refused to give me clothes. You know, and what did Krishna do to him? He chopped off his head with his fingers. He didn't even use Sudarshan Chakra. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the washerman, he had accumulated heaps and heaps of pious activities. But because he had no devotion, even he was destroyed. So Mukunda said, my dear Lord, my only prayer is, let me have devotion to you. When
Because what is the use of seeing you without devotion? You see, every devotee had specific mood, and in that specific mood, he would offer the prayers to the Supreme Lord. And actually, prayers have tremendous power. The Vaishnava Acharyas and the scriptures, they glorify this process of vandana, prayers. And when we read the prayers attentively from the scriptures, all the prayers, definitely our faith in the process of devotional service becomes stronger. And Srila Prabhupada said there is one more advantage of learning the prayers. He said even in this lifetime, if you do not perfect your life, in the next life you will remember these prayers. Just like Gajendra. Though he was in the body of an elephant, he still remembered the prayers. Bhagavatam says he remembered the prayers that he had learned in his previous life as king in the room. So I think we'll stop here. If anyone has any questions. Yes, please.
Thank you for speaking about Vandana. You had mentioned that every devotee is praying in his own or his or her own particular mood. And then at another point you said that devotees learn prayers by, you know, like what Brahma and Brahma Sanhita. So would you recommend that devotees pray kind of with their own prayers? Or would you recommend devotees pray with the prayers given by previous, you know, from the previous acharya? Or both?
It's a very good question. When we come to initially to Krishna consciousness, because we don't know Siddhanta, we don't even know how to pray and what to pray for. And therefore it's actually very, very crucial that we learn the prayers from the scriptures and learn the prayers from previous acharyas. Because prayers performed in ignorance, a person may ask something inappropriate from Krishna. And one of the important principles in Krishna consciousness is Krishna can give everything to us if we pray for, except pure devotion. So we don't want to ask something that Krishna will easily give us and let us go. Krishna doesn't want to give pure devotional service to anyone and everyone. So therefore we learn it from the previous acharyas and from the scriptures. What are the appropriate prayers? And as and when a devotee becomes more matured in Krishna consciousness, then yes, those prayers are coupled with the personal mood of a devotee. So it automatically happens that a devotee's mood is reflected in those prayers. But initially, yes, we have to learn from the prayers of previous acharyas and also from the scriptures. Does that make sense for you? Thank you very much.
You mentioned that in Haridas Thakur's prayers about Chaitanya that Bhishma Dev had conquered Krishna by his bhakti. And the example you gave was Bhishma had these five arrows that he gave to Duryodhana, and then, you know, the next day he got Krishna to come and try to stop the fight. But at that time Bhishma was trying to kill Arjuna. So how is Bhishma trying to kill Arjuna bhakti?
Bhishma is trying to kill Arjuna in bhakti. Actually, Bhishma would have never killed Arjuna, even though he promised Duryodhana. But he would never kill that. He knew that he can never ever do that to Pandavas because they are all pure devotees of the Lord. But these are the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. Because Krishna's devotees, they are always eager to play a role where they can have opportunity to glorify Krishna. So Bhishmadev, he took this oath. And he knew that Krishna somehow they will protect the Pandavas. There is no way Krishna is going to let it happen. So he made a oath, but because Krishna somehow they tricked and took away those arrows. So he took an oath in relationship to Krishna. That Krishna has to pick up the weapon
Otherwise, his friend will die. Bhishma would have never killed Arjuna. But this was just to glorify Krishna, that Krishna, he takes the oath of his devotees very seriously. The promise of his devotees very seriously. Srila Prabhupada actually explained, Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Arjun, you go and declare to the whole world that my devotees, they never perish. And Prabhupada explains in this regard, Krishna could have himself made the promise, but the problem is nobody trusts Krishna's promise, because they know he can break his promise anytime. But Krishna never ever allows his devotees' promise to break. In fact, devotees are eager to break their promise for the sake of Krishna, but Krishna always protects the promise of his devotees at the cost of even sacrificing his own promise. So it was not actually that Bhishmadeva was eager to kill Arjuna, but it was his eagerness to glorify Krishna, that Krishna will play some trick to protect Arjuna. He will never let Arjuna be vanquished.
It's more like a philosophical though, but I think it does invite, you know, some of your opinion based on the interesting lecture you gave. You know, how the power of prayers can be effectively utilized in the scenario of the wars, you know, where there is a massive manslaughter. And it doesn't mean that none of the people who get innocent people killed, you know, they are not devotee of God, or they are praying, or they are not, believe in God. So I just wonder, you know, in the situations which are beyond human control, and sometimes thousands, sometimes millions of people just get perished, in the case of natural calamity or in case of war, the big war. So what role prayer can play, you know, for those situations?
Very good question. Everybody heard the question? Actually, Srila Prabhupada, on this particular subject, he actually commented. He actually pointed out also that, you know, when there are wars, people go to church and pray, "Oh God, please protect our..." And when the when their family members, nobody comes back, then they become atheist. They turn their, "Oh, there is no God, because God did not hear our prayers." Okay. Now, whenever we offer prayer, we have to understand our adhikar, our qualification of offering prayer. Like, I can go in front of Krishna and say, "Krishna, please make the whole world into pure devotee." But do I have that much devotion? Do actually I really care about everyone in this world? Tomorrow somebody tortures me, I slap him. "You nonsense, you are troubling me." I become his enemy, right? I come to the Lord and pray, "Oh God, please make everyone into pure devotee." But I really don't have any love and care for everyone. So, that's a disqualification. We have to know our qualification before we offer our prayer. And what we have, therefore, as Prabhuji was asking the question, whether we should learn the prayers from the scriptures or we should have our own prayers. We learn the prayers from the scriptures to understand our own qualification. Where do I stand? Actually, nowadays, people are not very much conscious. Actually, I wanted to point out this in the beginning of the lecture, but somehow it slipped from my mind. People are nowadays not at all conscious of whatever blessings they offer, whatever prayers they offer. It's just a lip service. They just speak out, you know, to show off. But in Vedic culture, in Vaishnava's culture, people are very much conscious of what they speak. Like in Mahabharata, you would hear Duryodhana, he goes to his mother, Gandhari, before the battle of Kurukshetra begins. So he goes to touch her feet and take blessings. So she said, "My dear son, you know, you are enraging so many great souls. I think you need the prayer, you need the blessing that you should have long life. Although that's also not certain, because you are enraging so many great souls." But she gave blessings, "May you live long." And And he said, my dear mother, I don't want this blessing. I want the blessing that I may become victorious in the battlefield. And guess what Gandhari said? She didn't say, okay, I bless you to become victorious. She said, you're not qualified for that blessing. She's telling her own son, you don't deserve the blessing to be victorious in this battlefield. Because from the side of Adam. Similarly, there's another incident in Mahabharata where Jayadrata, he goes to his father. He said, my dear father, because his father was performing tapasya in the forest, you know, he had become a sage. So he said, my dear father, can you give me the same blessing that Maharaj Shantanu gave to his son Bhishma, that I can die at my own will? The father said, neither I am Shantanu, I am not as great as Shantanu Maharaj, nor you are as great as Bhishma. So you don't deserve that blessing. But I'll give you something to protect you. And then he gave blessings, you know, whoever makes your head fall to the ground, he will die. So, people used to be conscious before they used to give blessings or they offer prayers. Nowadays people, you know, they have in their plate all the different animals, their bodies, they are eating. And then they go to pray, oh God, please protect us. Srila Prabhupada actually condemned this attitude. You know, one devotee, his father, you know, he used to say, the all-merciful Lord always protects me. So this devotee came to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, my father always prays like this, all-merciful Lord always protects me. Prabhupada said, your father's logic is like wet dung and cow dung. Wet cow dung and dry cow dung. He said, your father, he thinks the God is protecting him and he's sending everyone else to death. He's killing everyone else, but he's protecting him. He said, just like the logic of the wet cow dung, he's thinking the cow dung, the dry cow dung is being burned now. But I'm safe. But he doesn't know, my destiny is same. I'll also go on the wall, get dried up, and also burn. So, people, when they offer prayers, but the prayer doesn't have the consciousness involved, and the prayer doesn't have any substance in it, or the prayers are offered without proper qualification, those prayers become empty words. Like I've seen, you know, one of the very senior devotee, he was going to the marriage of, you know, a couple. And this couple had, you know, especially the record of, you know, breaking the marriages and multiple marriages and adultery. And this devotee goes and says, may you have happy married life. Wish you a very happy married life. How can you have happy married life? So even when we offer blessings to someone, we have to be conscious. When we offer prayer to the Lord, we have to be conscious. We have to actually see whether I'm qualified to give certain blessings or offer a prayer. When that is not there, the prayers and blessings go just empty. And then people will lose faith, oh, prayers don't work, blessings don't work. No. Prayers and blessings do work. In fact, Jesus, he told his followers, he said, if you have the faith equal to mustard seed, that tiny faith if you have, and you go and tell the mountains to move to oceans, you will actually see mountains flying to ocean. Just imagine, you go outside and tell a tree, I want you to fall down now. Do you think that will happen? Because we don't even have faith. So, there are, you know, two very, very important factors. One is qualification. An involvement of consciousness. Are we really conscious when we offer prayers? And do we have qualification to offer what we are offering as a prayer? Make sense? Thank you very much. I think we'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.